DW Africa Link. Kenya and Uganda. What do both countries have in common? Well, they are both situated in East Africa. They share borders and similar foods like matoke. However, in 2024, both countries experienced significant civil unrest and protests as citizens tried to make their governments accountable. So what were the highs and the lows of 2024 in both countries? And what lies ahead in 2025? That's what's coming up. I am Eddie Micah Jr., and you are welcome to Africa Link, the podcast connecting you to the stories that matter.
Africa Link, every weekday, here on DW.
Kenya and Uganda have been dominating the media landscape in 2024 for various reasons. In Kenya, protests brought the country to a standstill over the tax hikes and rising cost of living, highlighting the economic challenges faced by the citizens. In Uganda, police arrested protesters in the capital, Kampala, as they marched against corruption, underscoring the widespread dissatisfaction with the government's handling of public funds. To help us discuss this, let me bring in Chico Kihika, a youth activist from Kenya and founder of Tribeless Youth. I also have Frank Yiga, DW's correspondent in Kampala, Uganda. Now, Chico, before we delve into the year Kenya has had in 2024, I'm curious about your organization, Tribeless Youth. It was founded against tribalism, which you believe to be one of the major problems facing Kenya. Tell me more.
Well, I come from a part of Kenya called the Rift Valley, where it's very prone to election violence or post-election violence. And most of the times when it's election, we are always marked as the hotspot areas or areas to pay keen interest on. And why does this happen is because, one, it's a cosmopolitan area, but also because there's a lot of tribal clashes. But this comes from also our politics, which is very tribal. So our political organizing goes back to our tribalism, and it's not... I've never seen a politician who uses tribe to benefit a community. So it's always tribe so that they get the votes and then after that they leave. Or when they lose, they use that to mobilize the tribe so that they can instigate violence. And that's where Tribeless Youth came from. Because when I was young, when I was in primary school, I witnessed the 2007, 2008 post-election violence in Kenya. I think that was one of the most famous ones. Yeah. So for me, it left me with a lot of graphic images and a lot of sadness and trauma that nobody speaks about.
I really appreciate you sharing your intimate life with us and all that you had to go through. What role did that play when you look at the year 2024, talking about some of the highlights of the year 2024?
Well, I think 2024 has been one busy year for Kenyans. And this starts from the uprising, where at the beginning of the year, towards mid of the year, there's been a lot of young people coming up, young people being very proactive in the governance processes. But I see a change in the shift of how political organizing looks like when it comes to tribes, because we saw young people organizing under the label tribeless, partyless, and leaderless. But the key thing was tribeless, going beyond tribes to discuss our issues, to show up for our issues, to go to the streets for our issues, to go to the streets because some of us have been killed. We are seeing, so our politicians who never learn, coming back and organizing tribally. So we are seeing where we saw after the uprising and so many lives died, they rest in peace, or rather they were killed by the state. We saw, instead of the politicians actually, including our president, actually addressing the issues that were being brought to the table, they went back to the tribal organizing, where he did a handshake with Raila Odinga to basically solidify the Nyanza region vote. And then we saw him now kind of doing a reshuffle in the cabinet and bringing in more people from the Nyanza region to the cabinet. We saw him part ways with his deputy president. Now we are seeing him again trying to shake hands with the former president who comes from the central region to see if he can solidify or get the love back from the Mount Kenya region, which is now the central region. So for me, I feel like the young people are going beyond tribe, but now we still have a sect of politicians, including our president, who are still stuck in the old way of working, where they believe tribe comes first, and they believe that's the only way to secure his next term, the next 5 years in office.
Yeah. Right, right. So moving away from tribe, because you even mentioned yourself how, you know, Kenya's youth came together in 2024 against, you know, some policies from, you know, President William Ruto's government. And that was basically all tribes coming together, or basically people coming together without having the banner of tribes, you know, written on them. What really makes up a huge highlight in 2024 when it comes to how Kenya has been run by President William Ruto?
Oh, there are two things I see. And I see a woke nation. And I don't like using the word woke, but I see a more engaged citizenry, which is beautiful, which is amazing to see. We see more people going out for public participation. We see more people engaging in accountability processes. We see our politicians now being called out to account for certain things, even on social media. We've seen our social media platforms actually being used as civic spaces where we're using them to actually do civic education, hold people accountable, and demand even for release of the people who are being abducted and illegally surveilled at the moment. So I think for me, that's a highlight and that's a shift in the way things work. Another highlight is seeing how people are using art to basically recreate moments and criticize this government, but also create a moment of education through art. I think that is really beautiful. On the downside, right, I've seen us take steps back in terms of our democracy. Our freedom of expression is being shut every day, unfortunately, where if you speak online, we do not know if we'll have you tomorrow or you'll be abducted overnight. We are seeing more confusion in government, and I don't know where it's coming from because it's clear what the people want, but we are seeing more confusion where now within 2 months we have had 3 cabinet reshuffles. And the bigger question people are asking is, what are we trying out? We've seen the government coming and saying we are not abducting people, and then in another statement the president says, okay, we will stop the abductions. So we are seeing a lot of the incompetence coming out to be laid on the table by the politicians themselves. I do not know if I can really speak about highlights in terms of our political progress, because I don't think we are making political progress. I feel like we are going back 20 years back when we still had the Moi regime, when you could not talk, when the president was demanding songs of praises, where the president was demanding that if you're going to speak about him, it has to be a certain way. So we are seeing President Ruto do exactly that, where he's standing up and saying, you know what, parents with kids on social media, you need to teach them how to respect me. And I'm like, you do not demand respect. Respect is earned, you know. So we are seeing more of this, and I think it's a retrogression for us politically. We've seen great artists who've been abducted. We've seen so many social media influencers or opinion shapers who've been abducted. We have a member of county assembly who's been missing for over, is it 4 months now? We don't know where he is. He was abducted. He's not been released. No one is talking about it. So for me, it also speaks to how the dynamics of our politics are going to change towards 2027, where it's going to be a bias. We've been demanding for reconstitution of IEBC. This has fallen on deaf ears. Now young Kenyans cannot even register to have their IDs. So it's also, again, you can see it's a way of silencing and maiming people. And you can no longer exercise your freedoms per se, because there's just something that they're going to set to block you. Right. So for me, my highlight is the citizenry and how engaged they've been and how they're standing up for their rights. I think it's beautiful to watch.
It is indeed beautiful to watch. I remember when many of Kenya's youth, you know, stood up against the government, you know, when it came to the controversial tax bill that was being put up. And it was very encouraging to many Africans out there. From one East African powerhouse to another, so from Kenya, let's go to Uganda, because Frank, I know you've been keenly listening. You probably heard the first angle of talking about
tribalism. It's not something we hear much about when we talk about Uganda, but maybe you can confirm that or not. What role does that play in Uganda?
Well, it plays less to a greater extent because we've learned how to live harmoniously. We've learned how to intermarry. We have intermarriages here. One tribe marries into the other, and then we get a particular tribe. That helps us, you know, respect each other, where we have no conflict and all that. So we don't see tribal issues coming in so many ways. Apart from, say, the political scene is here, we see a bit of that coming because when, say, politicians campaign or camp in particular places or parts of the country, they go to different areas where there are particular tribes and then try to woo them onto their side. But of course, the tribes as well ask them, what have you done for us? You played well the other side. You deliver services on the other to the other tribe, but you've neglected us. So that's the tribal card we see on the political scene. And maybe also currently, if you to look at government organs, say the security, we've seen people come out to criticize the government, criticize the president of having his tribe dominate the security circles. That's where it plays key when it comes to politics. But in other areas, in services and all that, I should say that we live harmoniously and respect each other.
Well, that is great to know. Putting that aside, what has 2024 been for Uganda so far? Major highlights when we talk about governance, policies, you know, issue of corruption. You've reported on a number of issues like that. What would you say are the major highlights from Uganda in 2024?
This year has had several running battles. This is on the political side between the state security operatives and the opposition politicians. In this case, Bobi Wine's political party, the National Unity Platform, which has dominated political activism against the current regime. Freedom of assembly for the opposition has been severely restricted to a greater extent. Many of their gatherings, we saw the police come in and the army using tear gas to disperse such gatherings. There's a lot, and also interestingly, Ugandans were left dumbfounded by General Muhoozi Kainerugaba's remarks. I guess that name definitely is not new to your ears. He's the first son and also a commander of the UPDF, that's the National Army.
Right. Tell us about those remarks because, you know, it's not the first time he's sort of making, you know, what some experts will argue as being reckless remarks. So remind us again the remarks and what's being said about it.
Well, the remarks he said that left Ugandans dumbfounded, he said that security forces will not allow any civilian to lead Uganda after President Museveni. Muhoozi, of course, is the first son. He wrote this on X, that he will not run for president in 2026, but instead will endorse his father, President Museveni. Opposition politicians termed his statements as unfortunate, reckless, treasonous, and tribal before the court martial. So Uganda has mostly been under military rule since it gained independence in 1962. And of course, we've had him on several occasions, you know, at least twice a week, he comes up to, you know, tweet, send messages on social medias, how he's going to capture certain governments, say Khartoum, Kenya, he mentioned other countries. And, well, we don't know the message is driving, but as for now, we have to take it at that. But others say there's definitely a force pushing him to do so.
Right, right. And the fact that obviously nothing comes out of it, people are wondering how serious or not he is with these statements that he's making. But how does it make ordinary Ugandans feel?
Well, Ugandans, because we have young people that dominate social media platforms, they take them lightly. But those who look far don't take them lightly. They say that there's definitely a message hidden in those messages. For now, because they keep coming every now and then, social messages, political messages. So it's a mixture of them. That's why many young people take them lightly, not seriously, and they take them for fun.
Okay, let's hope it's just fun and games. Chico, let me come back to you on the Kenya front. Fortunately, no politician or key personality in government is jokingly threatening to invade any other country. So that probably is a good thing on the Kenya front. But let's really highlight what you have been talking about before we switched to Frank. There were large-scale rallies. They were mostly stopped. Anger against the government has simmered, it seems, as things stand. It was fueled by a cost of living crisis and continued allegations of brutality by the security forces. Where do things stand now when you talk about all these sort of major issues that were happening earlier in the year?
I think it's important to start by saying today young Kenyans are in the streets, and as we speak, they're being arrested. They're being tear gassed and arrested at the moment as we speak because they went to the streets to demand the release of at least 27 people who've been abducted and are being held incommunicado by this government. We still haven't heard anything from the government apart from them sending plainclothes officers to abduct more people and arrest more people. So it's really a sad face for us. I do not know where we stand, even economically. And I say that because we are a country that loves borrowing a lot. We are in too much debt that we cannot get ourselves out of it. But we are also putting this burden on anyone who has a paycheck, including the person earning literally below the recommended wage or the average wage. So for me, is we are making this baggage even further. And I don't even think it's going to be silent for long. And we see such protests coming because today I know around three counties, Embu, Mombasa and Nairobi, are in the streets. This means other counties are going to follow suit. This means also, as we progress, there's a likelihood that we are going to go back to whatever happened in June, July. So I just feel sad for my country. We used to be a happy country. We used to be, even though we've bullied people online, even though we've bullied our politician out of social media platforms, we used to be people who could sit down, have conversations, and see progress. We no longer have that with this regime. So the only result is for us to defend our country by going to the streets. And when we go to the streets, we ultimately have to lose more people. And this country will never hold anyone accountable for that. We have photos and videos of police officers who shot young Kenyans using live bullets. They are still not being held accountable. The president came out and congratulated them. So he's even worse than Muhoozi, trust me. He came out and said the police did a good job. Then the next minute he's saying, oh, the reason why I fired the police IG is because he did not know how to do his job. So for us, we are seeing a president who doesn't even stand by his own words, who does not even understand what he wants to do. And then he's figured a way of hiding his incompetence using religion. So he uses Christianity to hide his incompetence.
How does he do that?
Luckily, he has a way. He said that he wants Christians to pray for him because he's hell-bent on changing this nation, and without their prayers, he cannot do it. But also remember, they have a social media bill that is in parliament that is supposed to regulate the use of social media. So how sure are we? Because it's not yet ready for public participation, so we've not seen the document yet. But by the time we're seeing this document, it feels like it's going to be just any other document that they put in to just say, oh, we're going to limit the use of X. We're going to limit the use of TikTok. Because these are the platforms people are using to organize and mobilize, right? They've said TikTok is treasonous in Kenya. So what are we hearing? We're hearing these are the lawmakers that you have. When the lawmakers are saying that, it clearly tells you they're in the process of making something.
Right, right.
Yeah.
I mean, before I go to Frank, you touched on some of the key things that has happened in Kenya. One of the key things, and I don't remember ever seeing, well, as far as I remember, I don't remember any country impeaching its vice president. And
yeah,
that,
yeah, the first.
that was quite a highlight, wasn't it? I mean, what do you make of that?
The way it was done illegally. But I think we set this for something. It was done illegally because, one, we have no reconstitution of IEBC. And a vice president is first vetted by IEBC before giving the go-ahead, right? If you look at the transition between how the impeachment was done and the transition with the next deputy president was basically we impeach by night so that by morning we install another one. Mm. And there was no room for courts to give their judgments or anything about it, right? Mm. None of us wanted Gachagua, trust me. But we've set a pace for what this looks like. But then this is also why I'm saying it does not make sense. We have sub-counties in Kenya that still do not have members of parliament. But the by-election cannot be done because the reconstitution of IEBC has not happened yet. But we have the power of the current IEBC now getting to a point of, okay, we can vet the deputy president and have him run and swear him in and that's it. But we are not in a position. Also, remember, the new deputy president was sworn in by a pastor, not the judiciary. So we know we have a bias in terms of what is a priority and what is not and what IEBC can do and what it cannot do.
Right. Right.
So that's why for me, I think it was a highlight. It set a bar because it means now we can also impeach the president. It sounds like it's a good deal. It has set the bar. I wish we had a parliament that would actually try out a presidential impeachment because Ruto has gone against so many laws and it's very easy to pin him down. So I really wish we could be like ready to impeach him because I think he needs to go. I think the parliament needs to put it on the table also.
Okay. Strong way to end that submission there. But let me cross over to Frank Yiga. Frank, wrapping it up in Uganda, based on how 2024 has gone, what can we expect for 2025 and how could that impact the ordinary Ugandan?
Well, 2025 is going to be a tough one because we expect campaigns ahead of the elections. And definitely, it's still the same script the president is still acting upon. It has not changed. He has a tough stance against the opposition. He always have that. And of course, we expect some RSC and their tear gas and all that. So that's how bad things are.
Right. Same script, just a different year. Chico, with wrapping it up, I mean, it doesn't sound like much is expected to change in Uganda as the year 2025 fast approaches. Where do you see Kenya in 2025? A possibly different script?
Well, not really, but we're going to be in the streets more, that's for sure. I think 2024 was just a trial. We've seen that the government is not willing to listen and it's getting to a point, and I love it because today we've seen the resilience of a group of Kenyans who are seated by Aga Khan walk and they're being tear gassed for sitting down and occupying that place. At least within the last 1 hour, I can say they've been tear gassed around 10 or 12 times. So this means we're going to see more of this. We're going to see, again, Ruto trying to please the West to get more money. Unfortunately, we are going to see him make more promises on top of the manifestos that he has not even started implementing. So we're going to see more lies from government, but more proactivity from the people. I hope to see more impeachments of our members of parliament and so on and so forth by 2025. But I'm hoping that the journey we've started is the journey that will liberate our country, and the journey that we've started is the journey that will free our kids from the shackles of injustices, abductions, and police brutality.
I don't know what to make of these two expectations for 2025. I can only hope, I'm sure like all of us, that things in some ways get better in the year 2025. But I really appreciate all your insights and input. Chico Kihika, youth activist from Kenya and founder of Tribeless Youth. Also, Frank Yiga, DW's correspondent in Kampala, Uganda. Thank you very much, guys. Now, at the time of recording this podcast on the 30th of December, 2024, there was breaking news that police in Kenya's capital, Nairobi, had fired tear gas to disperse protesters who were demonstrating against a wave of unexplained abductions of government critics. Not the best way to end the year, is it? Well, that ends this edition of Africa Link. Join the conversation on our Facebook page, DW Africa. Listen to us on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts from. Click follow so you don't miss an episode. This show was co-produced and edited by Isaac Mugabe. And I am Eddie Micah Jr. Thanks for listening.
DW News.
This is Mimi Mefonel with Africa Link News. A road accident in southern Ethiopia claimed at least 71 lives when a truck carrying a wedding party and day laborers veered into a river in Sidama State. The incident occurred on Sunday around 5:30 p.m. local time, about 300 kilometers south of Addis Ababa. The vehicle carrying 76 passengers lost control while navigating a tight bend near a bridge. The Sidama police reported that the victims included 68 men and 3 women with 4 from the same family. A Malian court sentenced political figure Isakau Jim to 2 years in prison with 1 year suspended for criticizing the military rulers of neighboring Burkina Faso during a local TV program. Jim, who previously supported Mali's junta leader Assimi Goïta, was also fined 1 million francs CFA, which is $1,600. Mali's authorities also closed Djoliba TV News, which had aired the remarks in November and issued the station a 6-month ban earlier this month. In Kenya, opposition politician Senator Okiya Omtatah was arrested alongside several protesters on Monday during street demonstrations in Nairobi against alleged abductions targeting young government critics. Hundreds of protesters chanting for the release of 7 missing individuals sat on the streets, refusing to disperse. Police used tear gas and arrested Omtatah and others when they continued holding onto a long chain. On Thursday, the Kenya National Commission on Human Rights raised concerns about a rise in alleged abductions of government critics, reporting 82 cases since anti-government protests began in June. You're listening to the news on Africa Link, brought to you by DW. North Korean leader Kim Jong-un has publicly described Russian President Vladimir Putin as his dearest friend in a New Year's letter to the Russian president, praising the strong bilateral ties between their countries. According to North Korea state media today, Kim also expressed his willingness to design and push ahead with new projects following their meaningful journey in 2024. Since Russia's invasion of Ukraine in February 2022, the two countries have strengthened political, military, and cultural relations, with both Putin and Kim emphasizing their personal closeness. The United States and South Korea have accused North Korea of sending over 10,000 soldiers to assist Russia in the war in Ukraine. That's the recap of today's major headlines. Thank you for listening. Wishing you all a healthy and prosperous New Year. My name is Mimi Mefoneu.
for minds.